Hello, and welcome to Anime Audio Commentary. Today I'll be commenting on episode 1 of Dungeon Meshi. If you'd like to watch along, then start watching now. So, this is an anime I've been reasonably excited about for a little while for a couple reasons. You know, on the one hand, I've read a chapter or two of the manga, so I'm somewhat familiar with the premise. And I guess what really interested me is that it's Trigger that's the studio here. And I think it's fairly well known that I enjoy Trigger and the stuff they do. But what's really interesting here is that this is an adaptation, which isn't something they normally do. They normally do original works. But beyond all of that, one of the other things that I really enjoy about Dungeon Meshi is that it's fantasy. You know, fantasy plain and simple. It doesn't have explicit references to level or class or experience or anything like that. Or at least, not that I've seen so far, you know. I've really only read, like, a few chapters here and there, but it does seem like a pretty straightforward fantasy, which is something that I feel is pretty lacking, you know? Now this is a pretty nifty sequence here, you know, a heroic band of adventurers fighting a red dragon, which, you know, to anyone who knows anything about Dungeons and Dragons, upon which this is loosely based, you know, that's something. Those dragons are mean critters, and they're not easy to kill. Now the unfortunate thing here is that the party was not properly rested, you know, they don't have sufficient stores of food, and that's starting to take its toll. You know, effectively, they're not doing as well as they could have been doing had they properly prepared for this. And instead of turning back, they decided to fight the dragon. And this is, turning out rather disastrous. Were it not for Fallon here, they all would have died, no doubt. But, at the last minute, Lias, you know, he was saved by magic. And it seems like, he wasn't alone. So here's sort of like the core issue here. Fallon was not able to make it out of the dungeon. And maybe this is me misremembering, but I was under the impression that Fallon was Lias' sister. You know, they don't seem to really be addressing that, so maybe it's not the case. Maybe I'm just misremembering. So I guess this is a rather bad situation for everybody to be in. You know, Fallon has been eaten by a dragon, they've been kicked out of the dungeon, they don't have the money for provisions to go back down. You know, it's a real dire state of affairs. I mean, Lias, to his credit, is willing to think of solutions, you know, maybe pawn off expensive gear, restock on food, and try going back in with cheap stuff. Yeah, that's a rather unfortunate question, you know. How much do you need to resurrect someone? It turns out, you know, resurrecting them from shreds will do, but post-digestion, I would say the odds are not good. Now, you know, I do have to sympathize to a degree that, you know, maybe if we, like, have a nice meal and sit and think for a minute, we'll have a better idea of what to do, but on the other hand, time is of the essence, and Lias understandably wants to make up for his mistake. Although that said, I can't necessarily agree about his method of doing it, you know, going it alone. That's certainly not advisable. You know, I guess if you're You're doing a bit of dungeon delving. You want to go in with, like, a good party of people, you know? Going by yourself or in a small group's not advisable. But at the same time, you can't go in with a huge group either. I guess it's nice that, everybody else here, they're all devoted to sticking around and seeing this through to the end, you know? Even if it would be potentially advantageous for them to sit back and play a passive role, they're willing to help. Now that said, you know, he's really asking them, like, you know, hey, you really sure about this? You know, I think that's more than enough to induce trepidation. And you know, this is something of an interesting prospect, because when you think about it, like a dragon, that's gotta be, you know, an apex predator, top of the food chain. And if that's the case, then that means there is a food chain for it to be the apex of. You know, that it does make sense in a sense, you know. There are all sorts of critters in dungeons, and some of them are carnivorous, some of them wouldn't be. It only makes sense that some of them would eat others and all that. You know, sure, they might supplement their diet with the odd adventurer here and there, but when those aren't around, something else has to fill in. You know, I find it interesting that eating monsters is sort of something a line in the sand for saving Fallen, because, sure, there might be a whole lot of monsters that are gross, and most of them that you wouldn't want to eat anyways, but, I figure, it's not a steep price to pay, all told. I mean, I'm not big on mushrooms or anything, but I feel like, if eating that guy is, like, the first step to saving a friend, that might be worth it, you know? I think it's also telling that Lias has a book that's essentially a guide to eating monsters in a dungeon, you know? It's not like this is just something he thought up. This is, I feel like you could almost call it a hobby, really. And you know what? Why stop with a mushroom, you know? Gotta get a scorpion, too, if one happens to be around. You know, I guess if nothing else, physiologically, it's kind of similar to, lobster or something like that, like a crustacean. You know, those are reasonably good eating, although I'm not big on seafood myself. Now, I guess it's kind of nice that they're taking a bit of time to talk about the lore and the history of this world, you know. They're not sure what created this dungeon, what sort of magic it was or whatever, or why there are these monsters. And, you know, I guess it makes sense that they wouldn't have any real good answers for it. But at the same time, I'm not sure this is something that's going to be addressed, so you might not have to bother. Oh, there we go. Fallon is his sister. You know, all of that said, I'm glad Chilchuk was, cognizant enough to know that, like, hey, you know, you kind of planned this, dude. I imagine that's kind of an unsettling thing to learn, that your friend and fellow adventurer was intent on eating monsters for a while, and has now basically been given the perfect opportunity to indulge. So I guess here we're learning that if you're trying to cut something, you should cut with the grain. You know, be it wood or meat. You know, it's easier to cut one way rather than the other, but, yeah, that's something, too, like, scorpion venom being safe to eat. I'm not sure how true that is, really, but, I do think it's interesting that he didn't do anything to prepare the scorpion before dropping it in. Alright, so this guy knows. You know, I can only assume he's a dwarf given that magnificent beard, but he certainly knows what's going on. You know, the tail's no good, chop it off, and, you know, cut up the body, don't drop it in one piece. Alright, yeah, see, I'm getting the feeling here that this is distinctly similar to seafood here. So now this kind of begs the question, like, if this guy knows so much about cooking up stuff, then, surely he's got to be something of a kindred spirit, right? You know, he, I guess, enjoys cooking monsters and will no doubt be down for this adventure, if only for the opportunity to cut more, or cook more monsters, rather. So Marcel's raising an interesting point here. You know, if a plant's growing in a graveyard, you wouldn't want to eat it just because it's essentially nourishing itself off of corpses. That's kind of like cannibalism by proxy. Man. You know, one would think that this sort of, like, meeting or gathering area would be kind of safe for monsters, but, that suddenly looked like a calculated attack by the slime. And I guess it's also interesting now that we're getting a bit of a, slime physiology lesson. You know, because normally they're amorphous, and in Dungeons & Dragons, gelatinous cubes are truly amorphous, like, there's nothing to them. But, these little critters here, they're sort of like giant amoebas, which is interesting. You know, if you rupture their cell membrane, as it were, like, that's it for them. And, you know, I could sort of, like, stomach the scorpion and the mushroom, but I feel like, slimes, those are particularly gross. Like, he claims they're a delicacy once you dry them out and all that, but, I feel like texture-wise alone, that's just beyond the pale. Yeah, you know, that's a good point. This is a delicacy, but he's awfully willing to sort of share it up. I guess, you know, he's in it for the food more than anything else. I guess it makes sense, seeing as I was carrying around all this culinary equipment, which I feel like, if you're going adventuring, you'd only bring so much with you, you know? Just sort of like the essentials to ensure you're fed. Now, I guess this is, a testament to the skill of the animators, because that looks, not bad, despite me knowing what's in it. You know? I feel like maybe that wouldn't be so bad to eat. It is kind of interesting that the scorpion carapace turned red too after being boiled. Like, I know lobsters do that, because normally lobsters are more like bluish-green in color. They only turn red once you boil them. I feel like it's got to be some sort of, like, chemical reaction or something. Alright, so, I feel like this is something that needs to go down in the book of, dwarves being better than elves. Because despite being so fastidious and unwilling to eat all this stuff, Marcel now has to admit that, despite the seemingly disgusting origin of the food, it actually tastes pretty good. You know, something tells me that this is going to be a bit of a running theme where Marcel will frequently and often complain about the food and its origins, but, you know, ultimately be won over in the end. So I guess this is the moment of truth, you know? Is Senshi going to follow along with them? Because he's sort of intimating that he's a researcher. He's off on his own thing, but it seems like the idea of a red dragon is very interesting to him. That's also an interesting bit of information, that red dragons digest slowly, meaning, you know, Fallen might die, you know, if she hasn't already, but there's a good amount of time before she's digested or decomposed. So, you know, that's a benefit. You know, I guess if you're looking on the bright side, resurrection magic being what it is. So I guess, Senshi's just on board, if only to butcher and eat a red dragon. You know, that's probably about as laudable a goal as you could hope to have, really. Now, I guess this really does give credence to the idea that there's a whole ecosystem down here, seeing as how there are trees. You know, normally one wouldn't expect to find trees underground, or like, what vegetation there would be, I feel like it would have to be pretty sparse to account for there not being much sunlight. You know, they're just sort of waving away with, a curse made this dungeon, so that's why things are kind of bizarre. I mean, really, that's all you need. Just, like, acknowledge that things are weird here, it's probably magic that did it, let's move on, you know? The important thing here is that we find monsters and eat them. Now, I guess this does raise an interesting moral quandary, you know? Like, what's the line here that they draw in terms of what they will and won't eat? You know, because orcs are monsters, but surely you can't eat those, right? That's too close to cannibalism. Even if they're technically a different species. So it's interesting that Lias is catering to what Marcel wants, seemingly because she's the pickiest eater. I feel like she's kind of shooting herself in the foot by saying anything that's edible. You know, that's a low bar. Alright, so there we go, you know, no rats and bats, no goblins, no living armor, like, you know, something quote-unquote normal. You know, I feel like there's only so much you can really eat monster-wise. Like, honestly, on that list, I feel like rat is probably your best option. Not that it's a good one by any means, but, yeah, I mean, I guess Lias is taking a good approach here. You know, let's go for some variety. But, man, I don't know. So, Senshi, he knows there are fruits here, but, fruit from man-eating plants. I feel like that's, it's kind of poking the bear, you know? I wouldn't want to mess around with something like that, necessarily. Alright, so that's interesting, you know, the plant doesn't so much eat them so much as it just immobilizes the creature until they die and rot into compost. You know, that's very peculiar behavior, because, like, I know there are things like Venus flytraps, which, well, trap flies, you know, they eat in a sense, but To just sort of, like, trap something and kill it and let it decompose, that's a novel behavior for sure. Alright, so once again, dwarves are better than elves. We don't know exactly what happened here, but, yeah, Marcel screwed up. And, yeah, this is, decidedly not good, I feel like. You know, you're trying to eat the plant, not the other way around. Yeah, you know, that's not refreshing information that, you know, okay, so this plant can't digest people, but other plants can, you know, watch out. Ooh. Right on the forehead. That's brain damage, you know. If Marcel weren't an elf, that might have caused some real harm. Wow, yeah, this is, deeply unsettling that plants will sort of lay seeds in the skin, for want of a better term. Like, that's messed up. Wow. Live Marcel reaction to that information. Yeah, you know, I guess at this point I probably wouldn't be too keen on sticking around and eating these plants either. So I guess the question is, what do you do with nothing but a bunch of fruit? Like, I feel like you just gotta make like a fruit salad or something. Although that said, you know, what are like, what are the qualities of these fruits, you know? Okay, so I'm wondering if they're baking something, you know? I guess in spite of knowing what the ingredients are, that looks kind of good too, if it's sort of like a fruit. Like, what would that be, like a tart or something? Or, not a quiche, because there's no eggs to it, but... yeah, a fruit tart. Okay. Not just any fruit tart, man-eating plant fruit tart. Alright, so that's interesting, that it's savory. Because, you know, I guess when I think of fruit, they're normally, sweet more than anything else, or, you know... occasionally sour, but not savory. You know, I'm not sure if I can think of a fruit that would be salty as opposed to sweet or sour. Yeah, you know, I'm wondering what sort of fruit these would most readily compare to. So I feel like some of those look like tomatoes, but tomatoes aren't really like salty tasting. I don't know, maybe it has to do with it being a sort of carnivorous plant. Oh dear, the elf got snookered into it. You know, she admitted the food was good and that means she's on board for whatever weird thing they eat next. A rookie mistake. Although, honestly, you know, I think they did Marcel a service by sort of catering to her wants. You know, like, I don't know, aren't elves sort of stereotypically, vegetarians or something like that? I don't know, maybe it's not strictly true. Yeah. I can't say I blame Marcel for having a nightmare with, you know, basically everything she went through, nearly being implanted with seeds. Like, that's gotta suck a lot, even if it didn't really happen. Alright, well that's it for this episode. If you've enjoyed it, then by all means, tune in for the next one. See you, Space Cowboy.